So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you've created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen.
altogether wonderful to me. Altogether wonderful to me. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You thee. You to you, oh, you're my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. How I long to worship thee. To worship thee, how I long to worship thee, how I long to worship thee. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is that flow that makes me white as snow? No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Aren't you grateful for the blood this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Feel the presence of the Lord in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you this morning. We worship you, God, because you're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our praise, God. Thank you so much, Jesus. The weight of your glory is here, God. Father, as we've heard, God, from testimonies this morning, Father, where your spirit is, there is liberty, Jesus. Where we invite you, God, you will have your way in those places, God. If there's healing that needs to be done, God, these are the places that it needs to be done in, God, in your presence. It's only you can heal, God. Only you can deliver, Jesus. Only you can change the hearts and minds of man. Only you are able to do those things, God, and it's in your presence that those things are done, God. I remember, God, when your spirit fell on me, Jesus, all those years ago. Father, you changed me in a moment. Your presence did that, God. It brought me from darkness into light, Jesus. And ever since then, God, the longing of my heart has to been in your to be in your presence, God. So we thank you this morning that you've chosen to be with us, God, as we've invited you here. Bless this word, God, as we minister, Lord Jesus. I pray that your anointing falls, God, that it be nothing less than your words and your words alone. We need you, God. We need your encouragement, God. We need your strength, Lord, in this day and this age, Lord. Father, our children need you, God. Our children's children need you, Lord. Our families, our friends, our relatives, God. Father, we need you desperately. This world needs you desperately, God. Father, in a world that mocks you openly, God, on television, Lord, over the radio, God, Father, even to the faces of Christians, Lord, Father, we ask you, Lord, to stand strong through us, Lord Jesus. Grow in us, Lord God. Let the root system of your life and your spirit go deep into the soil of this earth, Lord God, not to make this our home, no, Lord, but that we might stand strong against the onslaught of the devil, Lord. That lives might come to life because your spirit filled your church once again, God. Help us, Lord, as we walk, as we talk, as we go forth into this world, Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glad to have you in the house of the Lord. You got a testimony, brethren. Amen. We were born into sin and shaped in iniquity is what the Word of God says, which means it doesn't matter your culture or your home life or what hand you were dealt in life. We were born into a world that was fallen from its creation. Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, and every generation after that was born into a nature of sin. And God knew from the beginning that only His Son, only the blood of Jesus, only the gift that He could give could cleanse that nature, could give us a new nature. So when we sing that song, it's an ode to Jesus, the miracle that took place through Him, that as His blood was spilled, as we accept Him, as we believe on Him as our Lord and Savior, our nature, that sin nature, is washed away. It's made white as snow. The Bible says that it was as crimson our nature was, like sin. It was as crimson. He says He washes us white as snow that we might be presented before God without blemish, without spot. Amen. And it's the goodness of God, and it's to every person. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on the Son of God might be saved. Amen. And so it's not for a certain class of people, certain culture of people. It didn't originate in Europe or Africa. It originated right there in the Middle East and in Israel, where the Son of God was laid in a manger. And he went on in his life to answer every prophecy that was ever spoken about him. It led him to a cross where he was crucified, where that precious blood was spilt. And it led to the grave where he went down to hell and he fought to win the keys to death, hell, and the grave, that he might be victorious over it, that those that believe in him might never suffer death or hell or sin any longer, if those that believe on him, that we might have eternal life. And then he was resurrected from that grave 3 days later by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. And in that power, it says that anyone that believes on them that has been washed in the blood, that's repented of their sin, might also have that power, the same power that rose Christ from the dead. And it's that power that allows us to walk this walk, to live this life, that sets us apart, that we live in the world, but not of the world. And it's nothing to do with us. It's not our goodness. It's his goodness. It's not our greatness. It's his greatness. We're just filthy rags, the Bible says, all of our righteousness, all of our goodness. But by the glory of God, by the grace of God, he's come that he might live. It's not my nature that lives anymore. It's his nature. His nature loves. His nature has compassion. His nature moves upon us. That's what conviction is. That's why when you're saved and you stumble into something maybe you used to battle with, you go, man, that didn't feel right. Didn't feel like it used to feel. It's because the Spirit of the living God is alive in you. And he says, you don't do that anymore because I don't do that. It's not a condemnation thing. It's a grace thing. He says, I'm going to make you white as snow. I'm going to make you love the things that I love and hate the things that I hate. It's the very miracle power of God. It's his life. Amen. Not only did he give his son to die, but he gave his life that we might live. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I might preach on that for a little while. Praise God. Some of my favorite songs, them hymns, they knew how to write them. Amen. There was weight to them when they put words to page. And so I'm so grateful. If you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. I believe it's a great onset to have spoken on what we just spoke on and to encourage everyone here with that. I can tell you, we need reminding constantly of his goodness and his greatness. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 10. We're going to go through 20. And the title of my message today is Pulling Seeds Before Their Trees. Pulling seeds before their trees. Amen. We're going to start here in verse 10. Are you ready? Amen. And when he had called the multitude to himself, speaking of Jesus, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Amen. Praise God. This is being spoke of by Jesus, and he explains the parable, but this is in a time where the legal system The Pharisees were preaching a message consisting of this, that you have to wash your hands, you have to be cleansed of your sin before you can partake of certain foods. You're not allowed to eat certain foods. And if you don't do these things and you don't follow these rules, you're going to defile yourself before God and you're going to be unacceptable to God. So it was very much a work-based religion that Jesus is trying to explain, that it is not defilement from the outside that defiles a man, such as being taught by the Pharisees, but the defilement comes from our own natures. The very thing we just talked about. We are born into sin and shaped into iniquity. Every evil thing that is brought into the world was not brought into the world by Satan. It was brought into the world by the hearts of men and women. It's our own nature that is evil in every way. Your heart is deceitful in every way, the Bible says. So we must understand. I used to preach a message to our young people called, "I Can Do Bad All By Myself." Amen? Because a lot of times we blame Satan for the evil and the demonic in the world. But Satan doesn't need help to bring evil and the demonic in the world. We just read it for ourselves. Jesus said, every evil thing proceeds out of our own hearts. That's where it originates. That's what Jesus says, right? So what Jesus is explaining is he's saying, what goes into your body, what you're doing, bringing it in, that's not what's causing it. What's causing it is what's on in the inside. What's on the inside makes you want what's on the outside. I can tell you, addiction, people will say it's a condition, it's a sickness. Folks, it is in a sense. It absolutely is in a sense. It's a condition of the heart. It's a condition of man's nature. Some people aren't addicted to drinking or drugs and things like that. Some people are addicted to living a lustful life, throwing their bodies around with one another. I think you understand what I'm saying. They're addicted to those types of things. Some people are addicted to work. Some people are addicted to money. But all these things, it's a nature within ourselves, longing for something. I want you to see our nature and what it wants. It wants something to fulfill a void. And no matter what you throw into that void, alcohol, drugs, nicotine, gambling, money, work, success, whatever it is that you're trying to throw into this void, it's never going to fulfill it. And if you don't believe me, just try it. Go ahead, try for you. I give you permission as the pastor, because if you're not going to take it from me and you're just going to believe that, oh, I'm going to work really hard, or I'm going to go after this as much as I can, you're going to find out the same thing that I found out when I ran after it. No one could tell me the same thing that almost every other person in this building found out when they ran after it, is that at the end of the road, at the end of the success, and when all the drugs are gone, when all that bottle is gone, when all these things that you thought was going to fill you and heal you and take care of you and make you feel better about yourself, when you get to that end, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a bigger hole, one that can't be consumed with anything. And then you're going to cry out and go, what will fix this wretched man that I am? Everything I've tried. I've tried to be good. I've tried to be bad. I'll tell you what, you're in good company, because Paul said that. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me of this nature of sin that I'm in? And he said, to the glory of God, it's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the only remedy. He's the only answer. He is the greatest fulfillment of all. And we must put God in us. We must call upon him and say, live in us. You know, I don't know anything about husbandry. Maybe there's some green thumbs. Are there any green thumbs in here? Someone just says, man, I can make a garden grow. Cora, I think you're good at it, right? Aren't you? She's good at it. I can tell my wife's good at it. Do you don't want to give me a plan as a gift? I'm not going to let it live. Not because I don't try really hard. I'm just not good at it. I wish I was. Amen. But it's not in my nature to do that. But the word of God is so descriptive of husbandry, the way that things grow. And I want to encourage us this morning that through husbandry, what is the greatest thing that is needed when you plant a seed into the ground other than water and sunlight? Well, what does it take for something to grow when those two things are already taken care of? It takes time. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, your life may not look perfect right now, but it's all right. The seed of Christ is in you. And if you give him what he longs for, if you get into the word of God, if you enter into his presence, it's like fresh water of his spirit that pours upon that. It's the sunlight of his glory that comes upon it, and it grows in us. It's beautiful. It's wonderful because as long as he's living, folks, as long as the root system of Christ is in us, folks, the same fruit that's in him is going to be produced out of your life. It's wonderful how it works. Now, again, I'm no expert in husbandry. I'm just simply reading to you, a novice in husbandry, what the Word of God says. So if God says it, we can believe it. That if I just do what God's asked me to do, and I do as God pulls me in to do, then I will see the life of Christ in my life. But you know, this same thing is equal on the other side. See, if we allow things in our life to be planted in us, and we feed those things rather than the Christ in us, then we have a warfare of a root system. Anybody planted some plants too close together? What happens? They choke each other out. One's going to survive. Amen? The one that you're feeding is going to survive, just so you know. And so this morning, I want to encourage you because this is what Jesus is talking about. And if Jesus is talking about it, it's important to us. And he's saying to you, he's saying, listen, it is the inward work of man. It's the nature of man that has to be dealt with. So what did Jesus come to do? He came that he might be crucified on a cross, that his blood might be presented for us, that if we accept that blood, that we might have his seed, the seed of the second Adam planted in us. Not the first Adam. We're born as the first Adam, that fallen nature that's susceptible to sin. But when we allow that second Adam to be planted in us, remember what Jesus said in John 3 when Nicodemus asked us, how must we get to heaven? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen? It don't matter how old you are, you can be born again. And I'm not talking about going back to your mother. I'm talking about by the Spirit. And Jesus explained that. He said, by the Spirit, I will place my life in you and I'll begin to grow. Hallelujah. And so you can look at saints of God and you can watch because you look at my life. We had a playback of my life when I first gave my life to Jesus. You go, man, that's a sorry excuse for a Christian. I think you can honestly say that if we had the playback of it. But if you will wait just a minute, and that's the problem with us as people is we're a McDonald's generation and a civilization where once I get to the window and I pay, my food better be at the next window. That's how we are. And we view our Christianity that way a lot of times. But folks, husbandry takes time. Folks, some of the promises of God were never seen by the people that were given the promise. Their children or their children's children saw them, but it never lacked them in faith to continue on to see that thing grow, that a generation might see what God said. So in us, we must look at that our life that way and go, man, God's done. You wouldn't have recognized me 12 years ago is what I'm trying to say. If you play the tape back, you'd go, man, he's just not doing it right. If anyone knows what right is. He doesn't look like us at all. He's kind of sharp. Ask my wife how sharp I was when I first got saved. I got thrown into a youth pastor position at 19 years old, just fresh off the street, saved. And I told that pastor, I said, I don't think you're right for doing this. I said, I just got saved. I'm a kid myself. And he said, but I believe the Lord told you to do that. And in a lot of ways, we grew up with our youth kids. In a lot of ways, we grew together as God was teaching me. I was trying to feed them the fruit that God was growing in my life. And we grew up together in a lot of ways of that nature. But I look back in that time and I was sharp, boy. I remember a mom got up in my face and told me that I had said something to her son one time that was just not pastorish, you know, and this and this and this. And here I was just ignorant. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't even like people before I got saved. And so now I'm having to talk to people and have compassion and love on them. And all of a sudden now I'm learning how to do this. And these things are growing in my life. And I remember my pastor coming to me in that time and going, Jesus was approachable and you're not. And I remember it smote me to my heart, to my inner being, and it wrecked my life. It was right before my youth class too. And so I walked in there and my whole youth group just watched me put my head on the desk and weep like a baby for 15 minutes. I could not get over it. Not because of what this man had said. What this man said to me was life. It was life-giving. But my heart was smote in this reality that I didn't look like Jesus. And I wanted too bad. I wanted to, because I know who he was to me, and I want someone else to know what he is. And if I'm not a picture of him, my heart is broken. I just long to be like Christ. And I can tell you, there's only one way to do that. And that's going through some things. That's experienced some things. That's having someone speak into your life that's truth. And I'll tell you what they're doing. I'll tell you what people are doing. They're walking into your garden that you've planted with Christ, and they're plucking out weeds out of your life. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody like a good, pretty garden? I do. Do you like tending it? No. Ain't not one person in here says, my mom used to pulling weeds was a disciplinary. Oh, yeah, y'all go out there and pull weeds. Oh, miserable. I put so much mulch over weeds that you'd never find them. We're done. Despised it. And folks, as Christians, we're no different. I'll tell you, I don't like when someone comes into my garden and pulls weeds in my life. I don't like it. It hinders me in some ways. You know how long I've been growing that thing? I don't want you to pull that thing. I like it. But just like that pastor that gave me that life-giving word, who spoke that into me, folks, the conviction to want to be like Christ was greater than my love for those things that were in my nature, that were in that fallen nature, that weed that was in my life that was hindering me from ministering to somebody in a way that I wanted to minister to them. And I'm grateful for that man of God that spoke that. And maybe you guys have somebody in your life that's like that, that's come by and just given you that word of encouragement. Maybe it wasn't as sharp as that. Maybe it was more gracious. But someone that comes in, they tend to you. They're good husbandmen. And they deal with us with grace and compassion to bring forth the life that we all know is in there. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, we need one another. I need you in my life. I need Pastor Pedro, when we meet together, to look at me and go, man, I just don't think you dealt with that the right way. Or I think we should have put some more prayer on that or something. I need that in my life. I'm not above correction. I'm not full grown, and I'm not grown too big for my britches. I need people to come into my life to look at me the way that Jesus would look at me. And folks, so as a congregation, we must not be condemning people, but out of love and compassion come around. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things that we can do is we can share with one another what the will of God is in our lives. Because you know what that does? It brings instant accountability. Because when someone comes to me and they go, hey, Pastor Rafe, this is something God's put on my heart to begin to move towards. And you know what that allows me to do? I'm able to come into them and go, didn't you tell me a week ago that God called you to do this? And I'll tell you right now, if you do want to get to that place, there's some things that are hindering you from that. And you can take that if you want to, or you can leave it if you want to. But I want to encourage you, if you let those things grow in your life, it may choke out that dream that God placed in your heart. It may choke the life out of Christ moving you in that direction. So I want to encourage you. I don't want to discourage you by saying, oh, look at all this junk that's in your life. I'm not worried about the junk that's in your life. You let that tree grow in Christ, and I promise you, he'll push every weed out of the way. Amen? But if we come along with love and compassion, we just look at people and go, hey, you shared this with me, and I want to encourage you. These things are going to be a stumbling block for you. These things are going to grow wild for you. Anybody like pepper bushes? Oh, I hate them. I hate them so much. I don't even know why I hate them. I don't know what they're good for or what they're bad for. I just hate them. And they're everywhere, and they just infiltrate, and they push up fence, and they mess up barns, and they mess up concrete slabs, all this. And you just want them eradicated, folks. And we got to look at our nature, our sin nature that way, our flesh nature. And we can pretty up our flesh all that we want to and not consider it to be sin. But listen, bitterness is sin. Anxiety. You look at anxiety and you go, well, I'm not going to feel bad about having anxiety. Well, you're believing more in your fear than you are believing in what God has said. So we can pretty up all these words if we want to and make the definition of sin is not doing something bad. The definition of sin is separation. So when there's sin in us, we're being separated by God, just like these plants growing together. We're being separated slowly and in time. Anybody remember that old song by, who is it? Mark Hamill? Not Mark Hamill. Mark, what's his name? What's his band that they're in? I don't know. It's a Stained Glass Masquerade. Casting Crowns. Y'all remember that old song, Casting Crowns, Stained Glass Masquerade? You know what a masquerade is? A masquerade ball is when you wear the mask and nobody knows who you are. And he's talking about a church coming together, wearing masks, pretending on the outward to be something, but inwardly there's stuff growing in them. There's stuff that they're not happy about growing in them. That's what the mask is for. See, so it's not this grotesque thing that someone is pointing their finger at. It's something in us, because the nature of God in us is unsatisfied with it. And that's why we try to pretend and put a mask on and pretend that it's not there. But folks, it is the nature of us to hide things away, to pretend as if they're not real. But it is the nature of God to expose all things. Expose them. Not that you might be ashamed, but that you might walk in the fullness of his glory. Because when God exposes it, you know what happens to it? It's cast as far as the east is from the west. As far as Jesus' arms were spread on that cross, that's as far as it goes away from us. When God exposes it, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that any man that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's 17 through 21, right? It says that light came into the world, and this was the condemnation, that men hated the light. They loved their darkness, but light came into the world, and anyone that believed on him, their deeds might be exposed, that they might be wrought with God. Anybody know what wrought means? W-R-O-U-G-H-T. It means worked out. Hallelujah. That takes time. Anybody gone to the gym lately? Me neither. I don't like it. It's not fun. But you know, in order to get where you're going with that plan in your life, you must start somewhere. And sometimes it's small. And you must work out. You must let God work out those things. Anybody ever pulled a tree out of their yard with the root system in it? Or just a really big bush? Anybody ever done that? I'll tell you, a pick and a shovel work pretty good for a while. But at some point, you got to back that pickup up there, tie a chain around it, and hit the gas. Am I right? Sometimes we got to do that. And I'll tell you, the bigger it gets, the harder it is to pull. Amen. And it's no different in our life. And I got this. I was cleaning out our shed in our barn yesterday. I got some sweet pea Fairy Moore seeds right here. I'm going to open them. Somebody's going to have to plant these now that I've opened them. It's not me. I'll kill it. I promise you. But I've got some seeds here. And let's just consider these seeds as things that are wanting to separate us from God.
You see those? Everybody see those? Mighty tiny. I may let y'all pass them around, but I don't want you to get sidetracked. I only got so much time.
I don't want you. Amen. So I'm going to keep these right here. But you see those? Tiny. And in the grand scheme of our life with Christ and what God has for us, the purpose, the perfect will of God for us, that seems like it's not going to affect us at all. That's not going to hinder us at all from what we're doing. And you can go quite some time making everyone believe that there's nothing planted in you. But I'll tell you what, the more that that thing goes unnoticed, the more that that thing keeps being covered up, the bigger it gets, the deeper that root gets, the harder it is to pull. Before long, it's going to look like this fake shrub up here. It's going to be that big. And though people are going to look at it and they're going to go, well, that's kind of pretty. I'm not really upset with that, you know. You can pass that as being something good. But it's still there and it's growing. But at some point, if y'all could see, if y'all have seen them every time y'all have come to church, but you see them big oaks out there? At some point, it's going to be as immovable as them oaks. Them roots are going to be so far down, so hard to move. Me and my brother, we were clearing a place the other day. I have no idea what these trees were. I thought they were just going to have a nice root system on the top. And we cut them all the way down, trimmed it all the way down just to the stump and to the roots. And we took them buckets and we began to cut them roots down all the way around it. And we began to push and we began to pull. And we did absolutely, we had a Traco and we had a skid steer all at the same time working together to do this. And this thing didn't even budge. It was terrible. We ended up having to dig with that excavator all the way around, just deep, deep into the ground, finally to get to the heart of that root that was in there. And then we were able to reach down there with the bucket and break that root. But guess what was still there, even though we got that big old stump out of the way? Whatever that root was left in there. Isn't that crazy? And folks, we have to be careful of what we're letting grow in our lives. We have to be careful of what we've allowed to garnish our life. Because though some people may look at it and go, hey, that's not that big of a deal, it's kind of pretty. But God says, if you don't get that thing out of your life, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill the life of the Spirit of God in you. Then you better start taking some caution and going, God, I don't want your life to be hindered in me. You guys remember what Thessalonians says? It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't say that if it was unquenchable. Now, it's not unquenchable to God. He's an everlasting fire. But we can quench it in our own lives. We can quench it in our own congregation. We can quench it in our own homes. And I want the fire to burn bright in my life. I want the fire to burn bright in my home. I want the fire to burn bright in this church. I don't want something to grow up and snuff it out. I want God to deal with it. So we must ask God, deal with these things, expose these things that I might recognize them, that I might pull them. And again, it's so much easier to get this out of the ground, isn't it? Just go through there and pull them things out. Little sapling, so easy to get those things. This is going to be a little bit more difficult. That big shrub in your yard, you're going to have to tie a chain around it. But if it ever gets to be a tree, work's going to have to be done to deal with that thing, to get it out of our lives. I want to give you just a quick example of this, amen, out of the Old Testament. Anybody ever heard of Saul, King Saul? Do you know that King Saul was not always bad? Do you know that King Saul did mighty, mighty works under the anointing and the Spirit of God? When he was first brought in as king, the people wanted a king. God said, I'm your king. You don't need a king. But the people insisted that a king would be brought forward. So God said, okay, I'm going to give my man, Prophet Samuel, a vision of who this is, and he's going to witness him, and he's going to know that this is the person that I've chosen. And Saul comes out of the woodwork. He was chasing donkeys for his father. Now that should probably be your first reality right there. He's out there chasing donkeys. Amen? But the people didn't care. They really didn't care because you know what they were infatuated with? He was taller than everybody else. And he was more handsome than anyone else. And he was better spoken than everyone else. See, outward looks can be deceptive, can't they? See, they didn't care of what his occupation was at the time. All they cared about was, is we need a man to lead us. We need God to come through this man. And God did. When he was anointed as king, he went up onto the mountain. The Spirit of God came on. Samuel 9 says this. 1 Samuel 9 says this. He told Saul, because Saul was very humble at first. He was like, listen, I don't know that I can be this king. I don't know that I could be your king. And Samuel said, don't worry. The Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and he's going to make you as if you're another person. It's a type. It's a type of what Jesus does for us. But then Saul conceded. He said, okay, I'll do it. So he goes and he goes up to the mountain. He gives a sacrifice. He is anointed by God. He becomes like a whole nother man under the anointing of God. And he leads Israel greatly. He does a wonderful job at it at very first. I mean, he's winning battles, all of these things. People are praising God. Everything looks great until it wasn't. Do you know there is no small decline for Saul? When you look at the scriptures, Saul's doing really, really great. Saul's doing really, really bad. It's that fast. It's not that there is not some small decline in him. It's just not written about. But that shows you how outwardly Saul is capable of pretending to be something where inwardly he's not. And God, all the while through Samuel, is dealing with Saul. You better make sure that you do what God tells you to do. If not, God's going to lift his hand from you. Be cautious, Saul. And Saul said, you know what? I'm going to be okay. And you know what happened to Saul? He was killed. He was killed by the very thing that he was told to kill. He was killed by an Amalekite. And you know what God told him to do? The very thing that broke the camel's back for Saul? God said, I want you to totally annihilate the Amalekites completely off the face of the earth. And little did Saul know it at that moment, but God was doing that for Saul. He was letting Saul know there's something ahead of you that's going to take you out if you don't take it out first. And what happened? The very thing that Saul didn't deal with him in the end. And so God looks at us in the same way. And he sees our future. He sees what's ahead of us. And he goes, hey, there's something that got dropped in your garden. There, you're kind of frustrated with your neighbor. You're getting kind of bitter towards your brother or your sister. There's some anxiety in you. And if you don't recognize this now, it could be a huge contender for your time, for your affections. It could be a huge defender against my will later on in your life. And it's going to grow to be a giant for you that you're going to cower behind someone else where before you were God's man. You were God's woman, but this thing's going to rise itself up against you. Great. You're going to be in the shadow of its might. So we see that nature in Saul, but then we look to someone else and we see the nature of David. David, what was he doing? He wasn't chasing his daddy's donkeys. He was watching his daddy's sheep. He was not a man that everyone thought was great. He was someone that God had after his own heart. Not because David was born perfect, but because David stayed steadfast before the Lord. He worshiped, he praised, he invited his presence. Didn't matter what was going on in his life, whether there were enemies, whether there were bears, whether there were lions, whether it was just the mundane of watching his father's sheep and the task that he had to do that day. He wanted God to be with him. Because he knew if God was there, nothing else could overshadow him. He knew if God was there, the life of God would rise up against anything else. That if that tree and the branches spread over his life, there was not other seed going to come in and plant itself next to it. The Bible describes God, Jesus, the Son of God, this way as a root out of dry ground. That's what the Bible describes Jesus as. That seems silly, doesn't it? For as beautiful as he is, that they would describe him like a root out of dry ground. But what is a root out of dry ground? A root, if you look at it, I'm not a husband of husbandry, but I had to study this. If you see a root out of ground, it means that the ground is not giving the tree the nutrients that it is needed in order to grow. So it must get on top of the ground that it might receive the rain and the nutrients of the air that's above it. Folks, I want you to understand this type, that we are flesh, but we came from the dust of the earth. That nature is dry. That nature is desolate. That nature offers nothing of nutrients in order for us to grow unto God. But God sent his Son that we might rise above the dust of that nature, that we might experience the glory of God, that we might grow in him, that we might live in him, that we might flourish in him, that we might prosper in him. It is the power of his might. The Bible says the saint, the type of a saint, is one who is planted by the river. Hallelujah. I can tell you, that means that one side of his root system may be in this world because that's where you have to come from. But the other side of that root system is deep in the flow of that river, folks. And folks, though we are still in this earth and some of our roots may still be of this world and this carnal nature, let it be said of the Church of Jesus Christ, let it be said of Family Worship Center, that other side of our roots, the nature that guides us, that defines us, is deep in the river of the Spirit of God. You want to know where my life comes from? It comes from the river. You want to know where my fruit comes from? It comes from the river. It's not me. I was dry and desolate just like you, choking out all life in my life. But I met the one who moved me. He rooted me up and he planted me firm right in the midst of that life-giving flow. Oh, hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Folks, it's a necessary thing for us that we must be moved unto God. We must constantly be moved. We must constantly be looking for that nourishment, folks, because any day, every day as a believer, as a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. Go out into that world and tell me you're not thirsty. Thirsty for righteousness and goodness. Thirsty for peace and satisfaction and fulfillment. Folks, look at TV just for 5 minutes. You can't even leave it on for long because it's so disgusting. You're just going, oh my God, how it's fallen away. Folks, this life is draining the life of God out of everything. And if we're not careful, our churches will be drained dry. If we're not careful, our saints will be drained dry. Only if we go to the river. Only if we get there, only if we plant ourselves in Christ, invite Him to come, give us that life, only then, because folks, if we let anything else grow but Jesus, it's going to be death. It's going to be death. It's going to be thorns and thistles. You know that that was the curse that was laid upon man? You'll be cursed all the days of your life. You'll plow the ground, but all you'll produce is thorns and thistles. Folks, I don't want thorns and thistles for my children. I don't want it. I don't want thorns and thistles for you. I want us to live in the abundance of the fruit of the Spirit of God. I want people to look at us in this world and go, how in the world are they so blessed? How are they so blessed? I'll tell you how. I've been planted in the river. God has weeded out every little thing in my life except for Him, and He goes strong and true in me. It's His life, not my life. I had another scripture, but I don't think I need it. Amen. Y'all are incredible, church. Folks, my heart swells every time I think about coming and preaching at this church. I do. You're such an example already. I'm not preaching something that's new to y'all. I'm just here to encourage the life of Christ that's already in you. Amen. Folks, the Spirit of God's dealt with you about these things, just like He's dealt with me all my life in Christ. But folks, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't stop moving towards God. Don't stop God from dealing with things in our life. We're too close now. We're too close to what God has promised us, our life in Him. Unhindered by the ways of this world, He's going to rapture us out of here. Pastor Pedro said it at the beginning, that rapture is guaranteed for us. We're going. We won't face the judgment. We're going to be raptured. And folks, I want to be ready. I want it to be, as Revelation said, that God find nothing lacking in me. That I not forfeit the reward that's for me ahead of me. Folks, now's not the time to let little things grow in us. Now's the time where the church presents herself ready to meet the King. Amen? You're wonderful. I love you so stinking much. I can't even, my heart bursts when I think about this church and the testimony of God from where He's brought us from to where we are now. It bursts to think, how in the world did my family, of all families, get chosen for this place? How did we get? I used to think this all the time about my grandmother. All the time I would go, God, why did you choose me to see some of the things that I've seen? My grandmother's lived in faith all her life and just longed to see some of the testimonies that I'm getting to see. Why was I chosen to see it and maybe not some other saint that's more worthy of it? And folks, man, how unworthy I am to be a part of this church with you. How unworthy I think maybe all of us feel that way to be involved in this family of Christ when there's so many churches out there that you just hear the absolute worst about. That just maniacal and self-centered and folks, the testimony of Jesus is in this place. And it has been in this place. And it's not because a man has stood behind a pulpit, it's because the church has been the body of Christ. So thank you and continue, folks. Be encouraged today. I really would like to end this with communion today and really just remember, as Brother Troy even brought up and testified about, the point of Jesus, the life of Christ. This is the purpose of our existence, is to remember, to glorify, to edify, to magnify what Jesus has done in our life. So can I have some men to come up and distribute communion? If we could just stand all over the house, if you'd like to take communion with us. Amen. Got more volunteers than plates, but that's all right. You can just stand at the ends and pass them down if you want to. Amen. But let's just give thanks to God first. Let's pray over this communion and then we'll take it together. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you, God, for this church. It's so evident that its roots have been planted in the river. And Father, we're going to continue, Lord, to give you glory, to draw near, God, to the sound of water, Lord, that the fruit that is produced out of here is continuously of you, that this world, Lord, as it's dry and it's empty, Lord God, might look upon us, God, not us because we're good, but look upon us because we're blessed and say, that is an oasis in the middle of a desert. Where are they getting their life from? That we might testify this life is not ours, but it's Jesus's. So, Father, as we take this communion today, I pray you bless it to our bodies. As we remember, Father, the body that was broken for us in the bread and the blood that was poured out for us in the juice, we look to you, God, and remember and let our hearts be cleared in understanding of all that you've done. Lord, we do it in remembrance and reverence of what you've done. So we love you, we honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Go ahead, brothers. Thank you so much. Go ahead, brothers. Corey, you want to play something for a minute? You don't have to, but if you want to, we just like hearing you play. Let us remember as we take it that we don't have to let frustration win and take root. We don't have to let anger win, take root. Anxiety, fear, we don't have to let that garbage win and take root in our life. It can be eradicated by the blood of Jesus. Don't let these little things in life take root in our life that bring discouragement, that want to take away from the life of Christ in us. He's won, amen. It's unreversible. He's won. And we're going to take this communion together in remembrance of that. He's won. He's so amazing. And I can testify not of someone who's read about this or heard about this. I testify it as someone who's been victorious over it. Amen? Not because I've been good, but because the goodness of God has overcome. I've dealt with anxiety. I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with rage in my life, anger, bitterness, offense. I've dealt with all those things. And folks, when you bring them to the feet of Jesus, it's eradicated. It's completely knocked out. And I'll tell you, folks, it's not that it's so hard to get it out of your life. But when it takes as big of a root, sometimes it hurts a little bit more when it goes. And God doesn't want us to hurt when things are taken from our life. What God has to fill that hole is far greater than anything that He could take from us. I promise you that. I promise you. Folks, it's something that generations and generations have fought and died for since the death of Jesus Christ. A testimony that people have stood and said, this is something worth dying for. This life, this truth. We got to hear of some of the greatest praises. Folks, miracles have taken place. Doctors said, this obstruction can't be moved unless there's surgery. It's moved. Folks, a baby with 103 degree fever is no little thing. But in one laying on of hands and the mention of the name of Jesus, sickness has to flee. There is no little thing for God. So we remember. Jesus broke his blood, broke bread with his disciples. He said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And likewise, he took the cup. And he passed it around and he said, my blood, which was spilled for you, for the remission of sin, I give to you. Take and drink. So today, Jesus, as we participate, physically in something that we've already done spiritually, we honor you. We remember you. Oh, you're so wonderful to us. You're so wonderful to us. Everything in my life, God, you've been faithful. You've been victorious, God. It's not been always at the snap of a finger. Some things have taken time, God, but you've been faithful. I've watched your life grow in my life, Lord, and I'm so grateful that you planted that seed all those years ago. I'm thankful, God, for this church, that it was planted like a seed in the ground here all those years ago. Look how it's grown, Lord. Maybe some new faces, some new branches, but the fruit is just as sweet. It's your life, God. Thank you. Bless everyone here today as we go. Enjoy the rest of our weekend, God, and prepare for kids to go back to school. Bless these children as we honor them next Sunday. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church.